there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
We begin hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Mike Pritchard here at South Point Casino in Las Vegas. And Pritch, I'm always excited when I have you on the show because we're going to talk some football, and then we're going to have Vic Lombardi join us, and Lou Finicaro join us later on this hour as well. So a lot of football talk. We'll sneak in some UFC talk with Lou as well. But let's get to some of the news and notes that were not just Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson yesterday, as Rodgers, of course, staying in Green Bay, and Russell Wilson now going to Denver. There are a lot of franchise tag moves on there, and I know sometimes in the futures markets, people don't really look at this as much and how it might affect some of these teams. Now, we knew Devontae Adams was going to come back. Once 12 came back, 17's coming back. So gets the tag. He's going to get about $18.5 million this year. Chris Godwin coming off that knee injury in Tampa Bay, he'll be back, which is interesting because you don't know who the quarterback is going to be there. Look at the tight ends. You look at Njoku, you look at Gesicki, and you look at Dalton Schultz in Dallas. It's going to make about $11 million per. Right. Then you get the offensive lineman in Kansas City and Jacksonville, and the safety, I think, in Cincinnati. You knew Jesse Bates was going to be coming back in the fold there. Key cog of that defensive machine. Let's go to the tight ends, because I saw a lot of consternation on social media. And that's what Twitter is for. Consternation that Dalton Schultz. How are you going to give that guy $11 million and you're going to let Coop's going to be gone. Right. $20 million per year was what it would be if you want to bring back Amari Cooper. Did the Cowboys do the right thing or the wrong thing in your estimation here? And again, I'm still seeing out there in the futures market here, you know, to about right now, Cowboys 14-1 in most markets to win the Super Bowl. Is Dalton Schultz a key cog in that Cowboy potential machine to finally get back to a Super Bowl for the first time since 1995?
I think he is. Not a franchise tag, though. I mean, I think the Dallas Cowboys, they bought themselves some time to negotiate a contract that's helpful for the cause, for the Cowboys organization. So you tag him in the meantime, and therefore you kind of secure him. In the event somebody wants to offer Dalton Schultz a huge contract, right? So you kind of secure that situation, also buy yourself some time. So I'm not necessarily looking at those numbers as the reason why these guys were tagged, like Orlando Brown, tagged because they want time to negotiate a long extension for him. You know, hopefully they can get to that situation. And then Cam Robinson, same thing out there with Jacksonville, even though they might draft an offensive tackle with their draft choice, too. So, you know, I think Dalton Schultz gives the Cowboys and gives Dak Prescott a reliable option in the middle of the field. I think you're going to see CeeDee Lamb move back outside.
Okay.
Even though he's been effective inside. But, you know, if you're going to move on, as the reports suggest, from Amari Cooper, you know, Michael Gallup on the outside is okay. He's a playmaker. But CeeDee Lamb's going to be featured. He has to be, right? But you need a tight end to occupy the middle of the field. I think Dalton Schultz coming out of Stanford was a pretty decent player.
Again, I'm looking at the numbers here, but MGM's got Cowboys at plus 650 to win the NFC next year, right? And we talked about how at the top of the show in the first hour how the NFC right now looks like it's really up for grabs. Mm-hmm. So I know Rams fans are going to say, hey, we're the team to beat, and Packer fans are going to say, we got 12 and 17 back. But again, to the point about the Cowboys here, and I know they've been, you know, they get to the playoffs, they break your heart in a number of different ways. But without Twitter's input, are they having a good offseason? Because if you look at Twitter, you would just think they're just throwing away any potential of cashing that plus 650 ticket next year.
Well, the Cowboys don't have any respect right now because it's been, what, a couple of decades,
oh,
right?
Yeah, 1995, a long time
okay,
ago.
Three decades. So in terms of the Cowboys, we know Jerry wants to get back to the Super Bowl in the worst way, but, I mean, they had a great opportunity last year, this past season, and they blow it. And so you think about the coaching, you know, McCarthy. I don't know if you can get on board with that as a better. I can't. Not from a consistency standpoint. And so now some of the moves, you do question, okay, defensively, what are they going to do to improve that side of the ball?
Right.
There's some free agents that could be attractive for the Cowboys. I'll wait and see. See, the Cowboys, to me, even at plus 650, they're such a wait-and-see organization. I got to get closer to the year to find out exactly what's going on with Cowboys to have confidence betting them.
All right, and I think that's fair. I absolutely think that's fair. I look at the Dalton Schultz move and the tag, and I go, you know, you look at the numbers against Amari Cooper's, in some respects, they were better than what Amari did a year ago. So instead of paying $20 million for Cooper, and it gets down to money for a team that was over the cap, and, of course, they restructured Dak's contract, they redid Zach Martin's contract to get some wiggle room here. But I kind of look at it and go, I think they're doing the right things to try to get this cap situation figured out before you just look at it and go, the Cowboys are a lost cause of plus 650 next year. I actually think some of these moves financially make some sense.
Well, Cooper is a younger player still. I mean, but yet, where was the restructure?
Yeah.
So
didn't offer him
one. Did not. Well, unless he said, look, I'm not going to restructure or take a pay cut. Who was the defensive player that did not take a pay cut? Was that Lawrence?
That's right. Tank.
Yeah. He was going to take it. They offered him a pay cut or a restructure, and he said no.
Because they'd already redone his deal, time before. Yeah.
So I think Cooper is, Cooper probably believes that there's a team out there in free agency that's going to compensate him the way he wants to be.
I think you're probably right in that scenario. He's still on the right side of 30, as we say, so has not hit maybe even his full. He'd probably get one more contract, I would assume, for Amari Cooper out there. When you look at some of the players not tagged, and one comes from a city that I know there's a lot of discussion about, Allen Robinson, it seems like each and every year, and they go, well, he's never had a quarterback. Didn't have one in Jacksonville, got a big deal in Chicago. Then he never really had one in Mitch Trubisky. Does he have one in Justin Fields? They didn't tag him in Chicago. You look at some of the other names here. Harold Landry looks like he's going to get that big contract with Tennessee. So don't worry about Landry, Tennessee Titan fans. He'll be back in the fold. Boy, Chandler Jones is one that sticks out to me. Is he part of their future? And then look at some of these talented corners when you have a Carlton Davis and J.C. Jackson. I don't know the franchise guys anymore. And then the Honey Badger potentially in Kansas City and Marcus Williams in New Orleans. My goodness, these names out there, Pritch, for other teams, if they're not going to be back in the fold now that they're available on the market, they could be difference makers in the futures market.
Well, they could be. You look at the Chargers, for instance. Certainly they could use Chandler Jones opposite of Bosa, right? I don't know what they're willing to pay for that, though. J.C. Jackson, I'm one to believe, as a former wide receiver, that there are no shutdown corners in the league right now.
What?
Because I played against shutdown corners.
Dion.
Woodson. I mean, the list goes on.
Woodson
and on
went
and
from
on.
Shutdown corner to shutdown safety. That's how good he was.
Right, and he is Williams Hall of Famer. I mean, I can go on and on and on in terms of people that could shut you down. But we saw Jalen Ramsey against T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Couldn't cover him. And so I don't know what teams are willing to pay for J.C. Jackson. Obviously, the Patriots, they could have tagged him. They didn't, because I think Belichick believes, like I do, there's no shutdown corners. There's no true shutdown corners in the league because of concepts and because of the dynamic nature of receivers now. I mean, we just saw the combine. They had eight guys go under 4.4.
Everybody's running a 4.2, it seems like, these receivers.
Right, so it's getting difficult out there. You need edge guys. Certainly you need to pressure the quarterback. You need to make quarterbacks panic. And therefore, I think those players will break the bank and certainly be sought after. I know J.C. Jackson is going to get paid. I know Davis was probably going to get paid if he's healthy. But I don't know if it's worth sacrificing your salary cap and handcuffing yourself as an organization that way, though.
All right, Mike, I got to stay on that point for a second because that's a very interesting comment. So what you're saying is there might not be a shutdown corner anymore in this era where mm-hmm. you get slot guys and 4-3 guys right. running free all over in space, right? Mm-hmm. But there are difference makers still at the corner position, just not shutdown corners?
Not shutdown corners. I don't know difference makers either. I mean, who's covering Cooper Kupp?
Wow.
You're going to put a guy in a slot as a defense, that's going to break you down. You're not going to move your best corner back into the middle of the field, kind of like Jalen Ramsey was, but Jalen Ramsey didn't, you know, didn't play out like that. So, yeah, I think slot receiver is incredible. We saw Hunter Renfrow have a great year mm-hmm. with the Raiders. The slot receiver is just the talent nowadays is off the charts. You go outside, you see a Jamar Chase do what he did as a rookie, and I think there's more Justin Jefferson's and Jamar Chase's about to come into the league, more so than what we've seen with Devontae Adams and players like that.
So, again, let's stay on that train because I think what you're showing is that maybe fans and gamblers out there, when they look at their futures numbers and they go, oh, we just got X corner. Mm-hmm. In your estimation, that might not be a numbers mover to say, ooh, this team got X CB, so now I think that they're going to be the value for them is going to be X. It doesn't really translate to you.
No.
It would be what? Defensive end?
Defensive end, edge player. If you can find any type of player that can be a difference maker in the middle of the field as well, or middle of the line of scrimmage. I mean, okay. I'm not saying somebody's going to go out and find the next Aaron Donald. That's impossible. But somebody similar or somebody who can bring that dynamic to your defense to help out the edges. Because you want to see teams like we've seen in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl line up and create those one-on-one situations, whether it's outside, whether it's blitzing from the outside and interior as well. So that's where the league is moved to towards, Dave, in terms of, you know, let's pressure these quarterbacks because not everybody's a playmaker. There's only about five of them. Everybody else will panic, break down, throw an interception, and give the ball back to our offense. And so from a cover corner standpoint or shutdown corner standpoint, I believe those days are over.
That is absolutely fascinating to me because I used to always be of the belief that you paid for the corner. And I think what you're showing, what Bill Belichick is showing by not tagging a J.C. Jackson, by mm-hmm. trading away a Stephon Gilmore in his prime,
right?
He's doing exactly what you're saying.
You guys had Diggs. That didn't help.
Got all those picks. But I think it's a great point. And I think it's a way that before you look at some of these teams and the makeup of them and say, well, they're really weak at corner, that might not be the biggest deficiency in your eyes. And I'm starting to think the way you do as well. When we come back, Vic Lombardi is going to join us here. We're going to talk all about the Broncos and the big trade and how it does affect some of those futures markets and what the realistic expectations now are in the Mile High City. So we got a lot to get to there. Lou Finocchiaro is going to join us later on this hour as well. We'll break down another UFC card coming up this Saturday night, try to find the very best value for you. So do not go anywhere. Much more to get to. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Get an early start in your college hoops tournament betting with VSiN's full court bracket betting coverage starting this Sunday with 6 hours of free live video streaming on VSiN.com, including the full bracket reveal and opening lines for every single game. The VSiN college hoops experts, including Greg Hoops Peterson, Matt Humans, Jonathan Von Tobel, and Tim Murray, they're going to analyze every game, discuss with the bookmakers making the lines to find the best early value. Don't wait for the lines to move. Start your bracket and round one tournament betting with the VSiN college hoops experts on Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, free on VSiN.com. Dave Ross alongside Mike Pritchard. This is the Lombardi Line. And Pritchard, we were having such a fun show, and the ACC tournament's underway, and I look up and Syracuse is up 30, 62-32. I gave the guarantee to Scott Seidenberg last night and the look at. And then Matt Santos, our producer, says, oh, did you see this? See what? Buddy Boeheim allegedly.
It wasn't allegedly. There's evidence.
Punched a kid right there. They didn't see it. Cheap shot on the Florida State kid. Now my 51 ticket, which I felt so happy about, and obviously having Q's today, they're going to review that. And you got to think a suspension might be coming. And then there goes my ticket, my long shot, because Buddy Boeheim wanted to punch a kid boxing out, allegedly.
Keep going with that allegedly.
Let's get to Vic Lombardi. Great to have Vic join us here, host of Mosier, Lombardi, and Kane weekdays, 7 to 10 Mountain Time on Altitude Sports Radio, 92.5 FM in Denver. Vic, thanks so much for joining us today. And obviously, we wanted to have you on for many reasons, but the biggest one, of course, in Denver, the excitement now that they get Russell Wilson and make that big blockbuster trade with Seattle yesterday. Vic, just on the surface, Pritch and I have been talking about it all day here. Is there a way when you look at the what they gave up with the two number ones and the two number twos and a fifth round pick in this year's draft, did they give up too much, or do you think this is a fair trade in the totalitarian evaluation of said trade?
Yeah, the notion of giving up too much is almost laughable to me. I mean, I laugh out loud because none of that other stuff works. None of that other stuff matters. None of those other players can do what you need them to do unless you have the guy under center fortified. So when people say, well, they gave up a young, promising tight end, they gave up probably their best defensive lineman, they gave up a backup quarterback and two picks, you don't know what the picks are going to be. The backup quarterback wasn't your guy, or he wouldn't be the backup quarterback. The tight end underperformed. The defensive lineman hurts to lose, but I don't care how many great defensive linemen you have. If you don't have a franchise quarterback, you cannot win consistently in this league. Take that check and put it out there, and end of story. Of course they got the bargain of this deal. I don't know what the hell Seattle's thinking, to be honest with you.
Vic, it's great to talk with you again. This move has influenced three betting markets. The MVP market, you look at the divisional odds market, and also the Super Bowl market for the Denver Broncos. And so the impact of Russell Wilson certainly felt in the betting market. What about the offensive line situation, though? Because I know the Broncos, from a talent standpoint, receivers and weapons for Russell Wilson, running backs, that's solid. But maybe the offensive line and some moves that the Broncos could address to help out the offensive line.
Fritch, you're onto something there. I said the first thing the Broncos should do, and they still have about $29 million in cap space to work with. That's the beauty of this deal, right? They got money to spend. Not only do you have a franchise quarterback, but it doesn't tie your franchise up this season. You can go spend some money. I would focus wholeheartedly on the offensive line. Now, I know they think they have some good pieces there, but you can never be good enough. Nobody since 2012 in the NFL, nobody in the league has been sacked more times than Russell Wilson. So he's hit the turf a lot. That's got to stop. You know, if you want to play into your late 30s, you can't be doing that anymore. So if I'm the Denver Broncos, I concentrate everything I have on fortifying that offensive line right now, making sure that you keep Russell Wilson upright, because he's the kind of quarterback, you guys have seen him play, he likes to dart around back there. He doesn't like it on this side of the field. He'll take some time, go to the other side of the field. I mean, you can't block for 7 seconds every time, but by God, they better work on that O-line and make sure it is working well by the time he gets back there.
Vic, I did want to talk about the defense as well, because I know when people look at Russell Wilson, they see the numbers getting shorted and plus 275 to win the AFC West. Vic Fangio on the way out, what does that defense look like, and is the coverage still there pretty stocked so that Russell Wilson doesn't have to do everything on offense?
Yeah, you know, the running back situation is great. I don't know what they're going to do with Melvin Gordon. If they're going to re-sign him, they probably will if they get him at a decent price. The wide receiving core, I mean, the numbers are there if somebody can get the ball to these guys. There's a reason that George Payton, during the season, extended the contracts of two of his receivers, because I think he saw something that, you know, if you get these guys the ball, they will thrive in this offense. And you got Jerry Jeudy, who caught as many touchdowns as I did last season, okay, which is ridiculous, right? I mean, because Jerry Jeudy's a talented player. He should be getting touchdown catches. I think if you give those guys the opportunity to catch the rock, somebody who can throw them the rock, you will see production immediately. So I think the offense is going to be fine if you take care of the O-line. There's still some question marks there. They had some issues at the end of the season. You can never have enough depth on the offensive line. The rest of the offense is fine. Now the defense, now we can nitpick a little bit about the defense. You know, for the first time in a long time, guys, I'll say this. After Super Bowl 50, and the model in Super Bowl 50 is that was a championship defense. You have Von Miller, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, all those great players. And a defense won that Super Bowl with the help of Peyton Manning on the offense. Well, since that Super Bowl, the offense has been awful. And I mean unwatchable. It has been the worst offense I've seen in the history of the Denver Broncos organization. And I've seen most of it. It's not watchable. So for them to concentrate on the offensive side, finally, is going to liven some people up.
I tell you what, Vic, everybody's looking forward to Russell Wilson being a Denver Bronco. It could be fantastic. Although, he's going to be the 12th starting quarterback since Peyton Manning.
Wow.
Right? And then you look at Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, Broncos have gone through some coaches, too. So just overall feeling about Hackett. I know he's an enthusiastic type of coach, maybe a positive message in the locker room. Just a general feeling about the new head coach out there in Denver.
Bridge, I don't know how he's going to coach. I know what he is as a guy, and he's cool as hell, man. He's a good dude, man. He's just fun. You know, he uses young person's terminology. He's into teaching, and I like all of that. He's very enigmatic, charismatic. He got up on stage when he was introduced and, you know, turned a lot of heads in that fashion. But can he coach? Can he, you know, in the spur of the moment when things get crazy on the field, can he make the right call? I don't know. We're going to find out because this is his first time as an NFL head coach. So, you know what's crazy about it? I almost feel sorry for Vic Fangio. Fangio's probably sitting at home going, huh, so you gave me Drew Lock and Teddy, and this guy gets shiny Russell Wilson. That's cool. Great.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, boy, we need to do a wellness check today. I'm Vic Fangio, of course, talking with Vic Lombardi, host of Mosier, Lombardi and Kane in Denver. I guess it's justifiable when you look at what Tom Brady did in year one in Tampa Bay winning the Super Bowl. And then you look at the Rams and Les Snead going this way of giving up the draft picks, go get his quarterback, Matthew Stafford. They win the Super Bowl. So now, without being able to rely on the draft for the Broncos going forward, at least in this year, Vic, are there any other moves they can really do to fortify the rest of this team to say, yeah, 12-1, that's actually a decent number to still go win that chip in the first year for Russell Wilson?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, they've got money to spend. They've got the money to spend in free agency if they choose to. They still have plenty of draft picks. People make it sound like they gave everything away. Heck, they got draft picks coming back to them from the Von Miller trade. Heck, they have the possibility of Von Miller. He's the guy who got everybody talking here. 2 days ago, on his Instagram and Twitter account, Von Miller started spreading messages like, ooh, I'd love to return to Denver. How about the 5280 again? And everybody here is going, wow, what's going on here? What's with this fascination? He must have known something before everybody else did. So, you know, maybe Von and the Broncos can remarry again. Who knows? They need help at the rush end. They need help on the D-line. Shelby Harris was their best D-lineman. Linebacker is always a concern. You could take any defensive spot right now and say, okay, outside of safety and Justin Simmons, and you could probably upgrade every position if you wanted to. But they got the major position handled now. They got a quarterback. Everything else is secondary.
Got about 30 seconds to go here, Vic. Very quickly, is this now on paper the best division that you can remember, I would say, in this generation of NFL football, just top to bottom with those four teams?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what it is? The NFC West and the AFC West. Go West, young man. If you want great football, go West. Both divisions, West. Last year, the NFC West. This year's going to be the AFC West. That's how it works.
Can't wait. Vic Lombardi, really appreciate the time and the information for joining us here today. I cannot wait to see what this new-look Bronco team looks like. When we come back, Lou Finicaro is going to join us. Come on back. It is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
want to get in shape but having trouble staying motivated? Well, make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit. With zero sugar and an unbeatable blend of vitamins, nutrients, and caffeine, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. Go to 5hourenergy.com to find over 15 flavors to choose from. We got grape, tropical burst, cherry, blue raspberry, and more. There is a flavor for everyone, so get a 5-hour energy today. Dave Ross alongside Mike Pritchard. Mike, you ever take one of those to get your workout in?
Not for a workout. Okay. Maybe a road trip.
Road trip.
Yeah, road trip. 5-hour energy is awesome.
Yeah, I might need some energy to fight off the Twitter hounds today after Buddy Boeheim allegedly punched a Florida State player.
Still
going
to go with that, huh?
Yeah, it looks like he did. Okay. So yeah. We'll see what's going to happen there. Cuse, by the way, is up 74-39 now, 9 minutes to go in regulation. So they should be moving on to the ACC. We'll find out if Buddy Boeheim will be along for the ride in round number two. It is always a pleasure to have Lou Finicaro join us here. VSiN Point Spread Weekly contributor. Of course, follow him on Twitter as I do, at GamLou. Lou, great to have you here. We're going to talk some UFC in a minute, but you've got some hockey futures that you think are of interest to our viewing public here. Let's talk about some of those that you do like. And maybe out west, the Calgary Flames, have they piqued your interest, sir?
Well, actually, Dave and Mike, thanks for having me on. The Calgary Flames were released on this program about 3 weeks ago when they were 22-1 for the Cup and 12-1 for the conference. They've been on a tear since that release, and all that goes to show you is that even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. It isn't how good they play now. It's how good they play later in April. But that's a team that I look for that plays according to what I believe is playoff typology hockey, meaning from the goal out. Calgary has a salty old coach that used to coach the LA Kings. He's a big proponent in goaltender, then blue line, and if they can score some goals beyond that, that's great. So we have one set up in the West, and it's not too late to take Calgary in the West, quite honestly. You're just not going to get that price. Now I want to focus on the East a little bit, and I have two angles here. If you really want to be involved all the way to the end, this is a laydown. I see a repeat of the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Carolina Hurricanes. Mm. I think it's going to be the Hurricane that will topple the Lightning. I don't regard Florida any higher than I regard Toronto because I believe they're built more for regular season hockey than postseason. Now, it's easy to bet chalk. How about a flyer in the East? And again, here's a team with a great goalie. They're stopping goals and shots at the blue line, and they can score a little bit on occasion, but it's not their forte, and that's the Rangers. Currently, you can get the Rangers for the conference, the Whales, at 12-1 for the Cup at 24. Now, to me, I would release Carolina for conference and Cup, and I would just play at 12-1 the Rangers for the conference because I don't believe they're ready to make that step into the final. I think they, based on last year's attempt to get into the playoffs, I think they're gritty. I think they know what they're going to be in for, and I really like the coach.
Yeah.
So I'd give you those two.
All right, those are very interesting future plays here. And again, as we get closer and closer to the postseason in hockey, get those numbers now. To Lou's point, could have got Calgary at a much better number a couple weeks ago, but still some pretty good numbers out there to be had. Let's take a look at this UFC card coming up this weekend. I know you are at UFC Apex right now as we speak. And Lou, first of all, let's look back at a wild night, UFC 272. How did your plays work out there? And again, Colby Covington getting that easy decision that I know you liked Colby over Jorge Masvidal, and I don't think he disappointed with an easy 5-round decision.
No, I was happy to see Colby execute the way he did. I just his shtick is getting tired. he is impressive. He is the top welterweight other than Usman, and George proved that he, at 37 years old, I mean, he proved that he's an unbelievable athlete, 100% game, but he just can't compete in the top five at the welterweight division any longer. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and again, I had Nick Klikas on First Strike, First Look. That's out there now on wherever you get your podcast. And we were talking about how he set the number, Lou, last week. We were over $3 favorite for Colby Covington. And then you get to this weekend's card, and you look at Magomed Ankalaev, and right now he's almost a $6 favorite over Thiago Santos here. So we know Santos has got the power, but, boy, it feels like, to the point of the odds makers, a mismatch here with Ankalaev with the wrestling that he's going to bring here. How do you handicap this main event coming up on Saturday night?
I handicap it that Santos isn't getting anywhere near the respect he's due. I handicap it that Ankalaev is not the same as the Nurmagomedovs or even Makhachev, in my opinion, and he has more to prove. And you're looking at a guy that went five rounds in a split decision that many thought he won. I didn't, but with John Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, his pace has gone down. He had to recover from a couple of major knee reconstructions after that Jones fight. And the most telling issue with Santos that's affecting this price is how lackluster he looked against Johnny Walker, who's a guy that if you sneeze on him, he'll go out. And Thiago couldn't touch him. So Santos is going to have to increase his pace, and he's going to have to use takedown D. And if John Jones couldn't dominate him on the ground, I don't know how Ankalaev is. How do I attack this fight? I attack it by looking at the over because it's got decision written all over it, and Ankalaev is not going to finish this guy.
Yeah, there you go, because, again, Santos, we know, is tough as nails, even though there's two bad knees, went the decision with John Jones in an epic fight. And you're right, Lou, some people thought he won that one. I was with you. I thought John Jones eked out a small decision that night. But, again, since then, Santos has not looked like the same guy, and maybe it is about the ailments to the legs. Let's hope he's healthy enough to give a push to Ankalaev here at -$6. Favorite. Let's go to the co-main event here. Look, I'm in the tank a little bit for Marlon Moraes. He is a +220 underdog now to Song Yadong here. And again, Moraes is a guy that fought for the title. I was there that night in Chicago, was backstage with him, and he looked like a defeated man. The betting market says he's still going to be a defeated man on Saturday night. Is there no country for old men anymore for Marlon Moraes, or is this now Song Yadong's time?
This fight will determine that. It's my opinion that Marlon is going to be white hot sizzling for 7 minutes. And that's the look on Marlon, is that you're going to get 7 minutes out of him, and then he's going to wane. His energy wanes. He's going to come off of the cliff a little bit. And Song Yadong's 24-25 and just piling up experience. Now, this is a huge step up for Song Yadong. So there's really a compelling story here. And I don't know that I have it fully put together just yet, but in both of these fights, it wouldn't really stun me if one of the two found a way in the main event or the co.
I look at Alex Caceres, and he's always an intriguing sort inside that octagon. You don't know exactly what you're going to see from Caceres here, plus over $2 right now against Sadiq Youssef here. What do you make of this matchup? Is this a guy in Caceres who's shown more discipline as he's gotten older, or do you think we're going to see the wild man in there, and sometimes the undisciplined nature makes for a quick night sometimes for Caceres?
Dave, I apologize. I didn't get almost any of that question. Mike, could you repeat it? Because you're coming through very clear for me.
Well, he was talking about Caceres and Youssef, that matchup right there. What do you think? Get your thoughts on that fight.
That's going to be a great fight because you got a crafty, long, lanky, athletic Caceres who gets underrated in every fight, and he's won his last 4 or 5, even 6 maybe, against a kid in Youssef who is young, tight, athletic, explosive, and powerful. In the past, Caceres hasn't liked to be bullied, but he's rid himself of some of that shame over the last handful of fights. And meanwhile, it'll be Youssef's job to try and get inside Alex, hit that body, wear him out, and try and take him out, or at least push him backwards and control the fight against the cage in a cage that's the smaller 24-foot apex. It's going, octagon.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting fight card, top to bottom. You come off a UFC pay-per-view event. Normally, you don't get this depth in a card. It's a really good one. Lou Finucane is going to join us on Friday on First Strike as well. So, Lou, really appreciate your time and the information as always. Have a good day out there at UFC Apex. We'll be with you throughout the week here, leading up to a sneaky good card coming up on
Saturday.
Thanks
for having me on, gentlemen. I sure appreciate it. I look forward to First Strike.
Absolutely. There he is, everybody. Follow him on Twitter as I do. At Gamblu. You know, we had Jimmy Ficarro join us and hop in the studio during a break. We'll tell you why Jimmy was in here with some very interesting numbers that pertain to the Denver Broncos. Come on back. It is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you're going to earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use during dining and shows and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions to apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Dave Ross alongside Mike Pritchard. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. And I keep looking up and seeing the first game in the ACC tournament is coming to a conclusion. Syracuse is going to get the win. They're up by 40, I do believe, right now in Florida State late in the second half. But again, the punch heard around Twitter. Looks like Buddy Boeheim got caught doing a little something-something that he shouldn't have been doing. I just wonder now, my 50-1 dream long shot might be coming to an end because they got to do something about the punch they didn't see in the game. But everybody's got it on social media. I don't know how you get out of this if you're Buddy Boeheim.
Yeah, and plus, what, you said he was trying to box out after the shot, right?
Just boxing out, Mike.
After the shot.
This is basketball.
After
it's
the
physical.
Ball goes through the hoop.
Yeah, ball went through the hoop.
Okay.
And then he
yeah,
did
I don't,
one
I don't
of
think there's a defense here for this guy.
Probably not looking good, and that's going to probably thwart my long-term action. But at least they're going to get the win today for me, which is nice as we begin the ACC tournament. You know, we were talking a lot about Russell Wilson today. Had a lot of fun on the show looking at those futures numbers for Denver. And a lot of those numbers that you're seeing right now at most books are to win the AFC West, to win the AFC and or the Super Bowl, about 12-1 is what we're seeing. But right here at South Point Casino, Jimmy Ficarro came in. And when this man comes in and hands you a piece of paper, you take note of it.
Right.
Now, these are not official numbers just yet. But in case you were wondering what that win total for the Denver Broncos might look like now with Russell Wilson in the fold. Well, last year, their win total for Denver, you might recall, was 8.5. They won 7. Now, remember, they started off the year 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
It looked great, right? Teddy Two Gloves isn't turning it over. Then all of a sudden, he gets hurt. Drew Locke has to come in. Vic Fangio didn't like that. You could tell that was not the right piece of the puzzle. Well, those guys are all gone now. Vic's gone. Drew Locke's in Seattle. Teddy's not walking through that door. So now, Jimmy Ficarro said, for fun, because this is not official, if you put that over win total at 9.5, it's going to be juiced to minus 150. Or the other scenario would be if you make that number, say, 10. So, again, do the math. You want to get to the over. You got to win 11 in a 17-game season. That would be juiced to the under minus 140.
Okay.
So let's start off with the first scenario. Juiced to the over at minus 150 for 9.5 wins.
Hypothetical. Okay.
Would you bank and lay that juice of minus 150 that they're at least a 10-win team now with Russell Wilson in the fold?
Prior to free agency? I mean, now, prior to free agency.
You know, we just
hypothetical.
We just had Vic Lombardi on. He says Von Miller probably will be walking through that door. There's still other moves that the Broncos can make. But as you see right now, with the framework with what they have in the division they play in,
right,
and that should weigh into your evaluation dramatically. best division you can make the argument in the history of modern day football with the four teams and the quarterbacks they have now with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Derek Carr, right? So, look, you want to get to 10 wins, you're going to have to lay minus 150, and there's no tie in the forecast at 9.5.
Well, the Broncos are going to have a last place schedule.
Yes.
They're playing the AFC South and NFC West. But then you have games against the Jets, the Ravens, and the Panthers, who all finished last, right, in their respective divisions.
Mm-hmm. So the Ravens don't feel like a last-place team. They feel like a team that got injuries.
Lamar Jackson got hurt.
Right.
Exactly. So, but the Jets, they are a last-place team. So are the Panthers, too. So, you know, when you think about that situation from a win total standpoint, it gets interesting because of the fact that you do have free agency ahead of the Broncos, and you have Russell Wilson going to a team that finished last place last year, which isn't going to happen this year.
Okay. We're going to go on this, mm-hmm. but we have breaking news. This happened yesterday during the end of the show, and it's happening again right now. You ready for this?
I am.
We have another quarterback trade in the
NFL. Of
course
we do.
Now, before the show today, the Washington Commanders were 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. I think that number is going to get shorted. I don't know how much more, but Carson Wentz is now a member of the Washington football team, the Commanders, whatever they're being called today. Trade is official. Boy, Frank Reich gave up on you, number two. Frank Reich said your services are no longer needed in Indianapolis.
I don't know if it was Frank. I want to say it was Ursay.
Okay. Now, they were 30-1 before this trade. Now that Carson Wentz is gone, mm-hmm. is that better or worse news for you if you're an Indianapolis Colts backer and thinking, I don't know who the quarterback is, but I know it's not Carson Wentz?
I think Ursay wants one of those, though. Ursay was enamored with Russell Wilson, did not get that situation. Mm. We talked about Deshaun Watson earlier.
Who else is there now?
Right.
If you don't have Carson Wentz.
Right.
And Carson Wentz, I don't know that he's – I'm assuming he's the day one starter in D.C.
Well, it's just the all-in mentality. I mean, you are Ballard. You've built and constructed a Super Bowl-caliber team.
Right.
The quarterback lets you down. And certainly you overpaid for that quarterback. And some bad feelings, some bad taste in your mouth out there in Indy. But if you feel like this organization feels, in fact, that we have – a ready-made Super Bowl-caliber team. We just need a quarterback. Mm. You're shooting for the moon here, right? I mean, I don't know which quarterback they would be targeting here. That's a top-five quarterback outside of Deshaun Watson, though. But again, it's that situation, the legal situation, with all these teams that have that all-in mentality at this point.
Okay, so again, the Colts, by the way, and this is pre-Carson Wentz trade, they were 16-1 to win the AFC. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know where the numbers go. Do they go up or they go down? Because I don't know if this is addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
And if you're a Washington football fan, are you supposed to be excited about this? Because now you got, what, Kyle Allen, you got Taylor Heineke, and now you have Carson Wentz. I feel like you got a lot of the same guys, at least at talent level. Is this an up? Which team is this an upgrade for, I guess, is my question.
To be honest with you, I'd say the Colts, because now they've cleared out this situation and they can bring in a quarterback that's going to be better than Carson Wentz. And at least that's what they're thinking. If you're Washington, I don't even know what their identity is on offense.
Mm.
I don't know what the tie is.
I think Ron Rivera wants to run the football. And then so Carson Wentz, if he is indeed mm-hmm. the starter over Taylor Heineke, which you would assume you make this move, that's why you make it.
But is it Scott Turner, the offense coordinator?
Yeah.
So, I mean, who is he? Like, what do you – I don't even know if he's an upgrade over Heineke.
I don't – that's exactly 25-1, by the way, the Washington Commanders were to win the NFC, right? And so I remember, because I was in D.C. covering mm-hmm. the old football team, when they traded for Donovan McNabb. I was there that day, and I remember thinking, Andy Reid gave up on you. And to my point here is Frank Reich was your guy in Philadelphia when you were an MVP-level quarterback. You go 1 year in Indianapolis, and you get shown the door.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. And now you're going to Washington, D.C., and that's supposed to cure what ails you?
Yeah. You're not gonna tell me that Frank is going to bring Nick Foles over to Indy, are you?
Oh, boy.
Well, here's won a Super Bowl with them.
Here's the other interesting thing. Washington is taking on the full contract. There's right. no like, hey, we'll take him, but you got to eat some of this. No. Washington says we'll take all the money. So this says to me, as much as I liked Taylor Heineke, I didn't think he was a Super Bowl level quarterback. But that's it. The ODU experiment is over there.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's Carson Wentz or bust. And good luck going boom, because it feels like bust to me. But Indianapolis, what are you doing? That's what I want to know. Are you going draft? Are you going to try to make a play for Kirk Cousins? Like, what else out there is there? Deshaun Watson with a legal situation? Jimmy Garoppolo? You had to wait till June on Jimmy G. But that feels like a scenario that might make sense down the road.
Sure.
A Garoppolo in Indy feels like at least an upgrade, certainly over Wentz.
Not with this owner. Ursay was talking about Russell Wilson and the fact that he would love to trade for a quarterback like that. And I think if you're the Colts, and you know and you believe wholeheartedly inside that building that you have a Super Bowl caliber roster, maybe a few pieces, wide receiver, safety, who knows. But in terms of quarterback, you have to get that right. And I don't know if you experiment after trading for Carson Wentz, didn't work out. Now all of a sudden you just give him to Washington this way.
It's a stunner to me on a couple different levels, because I think this also goes to show that we've talked about it a lot. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it as the NFL draft approaches. It's not a great draft class. And once the dominoes yesterday, right here in this program, it felt like they stopped with the Russell Wilson move, right? Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. And then immediately Denver makes the trade announcement official that they've got Russell Wilson. And now, short of Deshaun Watson, what's the game changer? Who's the odds? Who's the quarterback out there that can still move these numbers? Because I don't know how much these numbers are going to move after the news now is official that Carson Wentz is in DC.
An attractive job, though. I mean, think about it. If you're a quarterback and you're looking for a Super Bowl opportunity.
Phillip Rivers, come back out of retirement. One more time, Phil. Mike, really enjoyed the conversation.
Enjoyed it as well, Dave.
A lot of fun, as always. We got you covered with all the changing parts around the sports landscape right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.